Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Andrew, back for another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. For those of you who are new here, this is a show where we go over how to use SaberSim, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But looking ahead today, we have a big nine-game MLB main slate here, and it should be a fun day of DFS. So let's get SaberSim pulled up. What is going on, everybody? See Andy, see Mark here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. No questions to get us started today, so thought I would run a build here and just talk about building some MLB DFS lineups. Reminder to everybody that we do have our build review show going live here at 5 p.m. Eastern. We only have one person signed up so far today. So if anybody else wants me to pull up their builds on stream, give them some advice about their adjustments, portfolio changes, things that they can do to help increase their sim ROI, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel in Discord, and that will give me everything I need to pull you up live on stream. So if you guys did that, be awesome. But let's jump right in here. First thing is always, you know, making two small adjustments to projections and then just kicking off this build here. While this runs, I do want to see something in case anybody hasn't seen this yet. See if it is there. Which it is. So in case anybody hasn't seen this yet, our first NFL sims are up for the Thursday night football showdown between the Ravens and the Chiefs. These are our initial projections here. So if anybody wants to start dabbling with some NFL DFS builds, you can now do that, right? So these just went up this morning, as far as I know. So just something to note. I know everyone's really excited about NFL right around the corner here, so I wanted to call that out. Team's working hard on getting everything up here. All right, jumping back to today. And, you know, while we go through this, and I'm just moving some columns around. So Mark said, I've watched a lot of builds on this channel. No one ever used the games tab. Why is that? So the games tab is more describing, well, basically what it describes is game stacks. So basically this is any lineup where you have players from both sides of a game. Now, so I'll say that the only time I use the games tab is for late swap. I like this in late swap because when the games are in progress, the time changes to show you where the live sims are at. So I think that the games tab is most useful in late swap. And what I would recommend is, you know, wait for a slate to start, come in here, and then, you know, where it says like 4:10 Toronto Boston, this will change to be like bottom of the second inning, 2-1 Toronto, and it'll tell you what game state we're in. So if you are on Ultimate and you have access to live projections and you're using them for the contest sim, I would actually be very, very mindful of this when using your late swap, your late swaps and your live contest sims. So like, for instance, you know, let's say that the Braves game yesterday, it was like 4-1, and then Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud, or it went from like 4-1 to 9-1 in the bottom of the second inning. You know, you could come in here and run a late swap, but if that inning isn't over, if that half inning where they're batting isn't over yet, the builder isn't going to know that the Braves now have 9 runs instead of 4. So it's almost like, hey, you got to kind of come in here and time your late swap because we run the live sims every half inning. So when the half inning ends, we run sims in between innings or in between half innings. So that's when the games tab to me is the most important, is when that information gets taken into account. So pre-build, I don't think it's super helpful. The only time I would like use it is, or I think it could be helpful, is like you come in here and you see you have like 100% game stacks from one team. Meanwhile, you know, the pool exposure for that game as far as game stacks is like actually very low. That would be kind of concerning. To come in here and be like, whoa, like, I don't know why, but we are just jamming, you know, this one specific game. Maybe I want to lower my risk to that game environment and put in a max exposure to this game stack. That's like the only time I could see that happening. But understanding the progress in the game to that point. So that's what I would say about the games tab here. All right. Sam said my volume's fluctuating. Let me know if that's still occurring. I could try and disconnect, reconnect. Let's see. Mark said you can use my build from yesterday's main slate if you want. Adams0518 on DK for the review show. Mark, if you're in the Discord, you could drop that in the office hours channel. That'd be a huge help. So I'd be happy to pull you up on stream today and go over your builds for. So you drop it in the Discord, it'd be a huge help. But yeah, so let's jump back into this build. Took a little intermission here talking about game stacks tabs. So let's go and create a contest sim. We'll say we're building for, say we're playing the mini max. Why not? Pretty big mini max, 47K entries. All right, so I have this one contest sim for the mini max. I'm just going to run with the one contest sim. Going to kick that off. Jump back to the players tab. Going to change my lineups to 150. All right, good. Good stuff here. We're just about ready to rock and roll. All right, contest sim is finished. So going to take like a right to left approach, starting with filters. One thing that we've started to recommend more and more is a projection filter, filtering out the bottom 10% of lineups. So the way this works is put in a filter, show lineups with projection greater than X. Kind of just make up a number, right? Start with a number. Doesn't really matter. You're trying to get to a point where you're trashing about 10 to 20% max of your pool here. So I'm at like 1,100, which is a little over 20%. So I'm going to lower this a little bit, maybe 88. I guess me to like 700. This is perfect, right? This is all I need. And then I'm going to add in another filter saying give me lineups with ROI greater than 0 in the contest sim that we just ran. And then those are like my two baseline filters here. So then what I want to do now, add in an aggregate metric. For those same two things that we filtered for, right? So show me average projection across my 150. And then show me the average ROI across my 150 as well. So, you know, from all of our build review shows, we've determined that, you know, these two things end up being super, super important. So we want to, you know, have these data points to reference as we begin to start making changes in our 150 set here. So working with about 1,800 lineups, still good there. One thing standing out to me right away is that we don't have any batter in more than 32% of our lineups here, taking a stand on San Diego. But outside of that, you know, pretty flat, right? And we haven't even started to adjust Mininix at all, which, you know, this goes down to like John's question here. We're just going to address this as we go. John said in the Discord, there was a discussion of not having to use Mininix after the change, but sims have changed again and uniques are necessary again for diversification. So let's just talk about Mininix, right? You know, with the new way that we are calculating the contest sim, it's not to say that Mininix aren't important still. They still are, but we are just doing a better job of accounting for diversification for you. So a good example is exactly what we're seeing here, right? Where, actually, I'm not even sorted by risk-adjusted ROI. So let's go sort by risk-adjusted ROI. So I just switched from Saber Score to risk-adjusted ROI for the contest sim. And right now, my top exposed team is 35%, followed by 27, followed by 22, followed by 14, 12, 12, 10. Like, we are getting a lot more spread out without you having to use them in uniques. Before, you might do this and be like 50% exposure, 45% exposure, 40%, like very, very concentrated exposures up at the top. But now you're getting diversified a lot quicker, a lot easier. Now, that doesn't mean Mininix isn't helpful, but I think what you're going to see is that you might go from like one Mininix to like five previously and see like a very, very big change. But now you're not going to, now that impact is going to be less. So I've gone from one Mininix up to four now, and my average ROI across my set of lineups has gone from 55% to 49%. And my average projection has stayed in this 98 range. I forget exactly what it was, but right now it's 98.25. It was 98 when I started at Mininix of one. Now, Mininix of four is probably more than enough for me here. You know, I might have even been okay with three based on the levels of the team stacks that I'm seeing. At Mininix of three, our highest team stack is 25%. And then if I go over to players, you know, our highest exposed batter is 23%, right? And then we have some pitchers at 32, pitcher at 90, but his ownership is 42%. So, you know, it seems like the builder really likes Logan Gilbert. It's like, hey, let's just, you know, get to as much Logan Gilbert as we can. And then it starts to spread out from there, right? Like that's what we're seeing here. So Mininix is ultimately a tool to help you get to exposures and leverages, which leverages are like your stands that you're comfortable with. The change made it so you can use a lower number of Mininix out of the gate to get to where you want to go. You don't have to be so aggressive with it to get to exposure levels that are a little bit more tamed. So for me, you know, I might be okay, you know, looking at this. Two Mininix looks fine. You know, one Mininix almost looks fine for me. One might be a little aggressive, you know, having a lot of these Chicago batters who have like really low ownership and like a low team total. So like I might be good with two. And then we see them drop, you know, we still see them here, but the exposure is less, right? And so two or three Mininix is probably enough for me. But previously, you know, I might have had to get to five to six to seven to get to similar exposure like bands, get to similar exposure levels. And I probably would have been sacrificing a lot more projection and average ROI to do that. So this kind of solves that problem. This was the whole update. Like, hey, let's get to a better, diverse set of high ROI lineups where you don't have to use Mininix as much because we're going to account for it. And then it's not going to impact your lineups as much. So that's what the update does. It doesn't make it obsolete. There's still value in using it. You're just going to get to where you want to go faster is what it comes down to. All right, next question here. When's a good time to use SaberSim late swap if your original field is a custom field? Well, I would say that you would still want to late swap before every game start time, because once the games lock, you can't add or remove players from those lineups based on how the rest of the slate is playing out. So let's say that, you know, it is coming up on this 440 game between the Braves and Minnesota, and you're using a custom field, which is fine. That's your choice. But, you know, the Toronto-Boston game has already been playing, and, you know, maybe Rafael Devers, like, hit a home run, right? And, you know, that information is going to be important, because you come in here and you look at his projection and you see that he's projected. Oh, I don't think he's playing today. We'll use someone else. Tristan Casas hits a home run. Well, he's projected for 7.64. He already has 14 because he hit a solo home run. You know, his live projection is going to be a lot different. And if you rostered this player, you know, in lineups that you did roster him, the builder's going to want to do one thing. In lineups where you didn't roster him and his ownership is, you know, say high, the builder's going to want to do a different thing for the rest of your lineups. So you should still be late swapping before every game lock time to make sure that, to see if the builder wants to put players from that game into your now new lineups based on late swap. All right. Mark said he's going to put his name in the Discord. Thank you, Mark. John said, any ownership filter you recommend? So I think you could do something similar for ownership that we do for projected score. This is something that I was reviewing a user, and you know, it looked like they were playing, their looked like their worst lineups were very, very high sum ownership. So we talked about doing the same exact thing here, where basically, and I would always do this with no filters applied to figure out the filter you want. Like, I wouldn't do ROI and then projection. I would do projection, and then I would write down the number, which was 88, and then I would turn it off, and then I would do my next filter, because I want to make sure I'm only trashing like 10 to 20% of lineups. And if I have a filter on, it could skew that data. So then I could do something else where it's like, show me lineups with ownership less than, and then, you know, I make up a number, right? 210. Okay, no lineups in the trash. Okay, we need to go. Okay, 160, 75 lineups in the trash. So now we're actually getting closer. 145, 300, and then I would be really, really close at this point, right? I would tinker like a little bit more. Maybe I get to like 140, and then that should about do it. So then now it's like 10% of the lineups go in the trash, right? Okay, so now I have this ownership filter, and then I go and put my projection one back that I've already figured out, right? Projection greater than 88. About 20% of lineups in the trash here, go and add my ROI. And, you know, when we did the ownership filter, it was kind of like an experiment. Like, hey, you know, your worst lineups, sim ROI-wise, are these super, super high-owned ones. You know, try this out and see if it helps you. And then I've actually heard from that user. They've been very happy with that filter, and I've been seeing their sim ROI benefit from it. So it's something that we've trialed and errored and figured our way out to, but it is something that you could experiment with as well. All right. Question from Sam. It's still sorted by Saber Score, not ROI or RAROI. Is that intentional? Okay. You switched it. Yeah. I just forgot. That was my bad. I was supposed to switch that and I didn't even catch that. Projection actually went up from having one unique. We've seen interesting things with this. You know, sometimes I've seen it. I think we were doing an experiment yesterday where the ROI was actually going down and the projection was going up as we increased them in uniques, because we were targeting a specific lower projected team, but they had even lower ownership. And we were getting away from that team to higher projected plays, but the ROI wasn't benefiting from that. So that was kind of interesting the way that was working yesterday. So you could see it move in a couple different directions. Next question. If I late swap using my custom field as the field, will it still take into account scores that have already been scored? So it'll still take into account the live projections. Yes. So that's what will be happening. And it will apply the live projections to all of the lineups in your custom field. Sam said, how would you combine Saber score and ROI/RAROI in a custom metric? I wouldn't really recommend doing this, but if you wanted to, the way that you would do it is, what I would do is open up the Saber score formula, click the eye icon, and then the formula is going to be up here at the top. You're going to see how every individual variable is written. So I'd basically write these down or screenshot them. And then I would go to add metric. And then I would rewrite them all. And then at the end, I would add a variable for ROI. So the reason I recommend not doing it is because before we had a contest sim product, we would use contest sims to create SaberScore. That's how SaberScore was built, using our in-house contest sim. The difference between the two is that SaberScore casts more of a wider blanket as far as it doesn't account for entry fees. It doesn't account for specific contest size, specific contest payout structure. Right? Like, you look at the Saber score and it says large slate 100 to 1K entries, right? This doesn't matter if the contest is $1. This doesn't matter if the contest is $100, right? Doesn't matter if the contest has 101 entries. Doesn't matter if the contest has 999 entries. Doesn't matter if it's 50% to first or 10% to first, right? So Saber score is a little bit more all encompassing. I like to call it like the 80-20 of contest sims. And then the contest sims are actually as specific as you can be on a contest by contest level. So I think that, you know, there's value in each of them separately, but if you had to choose between Saber score or ROI/RAROI, I would choose the contest sim and I would choose using risk adjusted ROI at the moment. But good questions there. Taking a peek in Discord here, because it looks like we're all caught up in the office hours channel. Let's see, Mark dropped his name. See, Black Mama dropped his name as well. Yep, can definitely add both of you to the queue for today. That'd be great. Sam said, I'm curious what lineups that would bring to the top for you. I know when I was sorting by Saber score previously, we were getting a lot of San Diego, and then now I'm getting more San Francisco. San Diego's still there, right? But they're fourth highest as opposed to like first highest. So you could see like some of the small subtle changes there, but there's no reason you can't experiment with it, right? Like, hey, I want to sort by Saber score. Okay, these are my top exposures. Sort by ROI. These are my top exposures. Create my custom metric the way I showed you. Okay, these are my top exposures. And, you know, whatever passes the eye test for you, you know, you got to make a call about what you want to use, but that is how you would do it. All right. Good stuff there, everybody. Looks like we're all caught up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back here in about half an hour for our build review show. Looking forward to it. We got three people signed up, so it should be a fun show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.